And you feel that the Jewish community is more Jewish and more unified, and you feel it's a healthier situation for the Jews. Could you give us some of your...
No, I wouldn't say that it's more Jewish. That I can't buy.
All right. How do you view it?
It is more Jewish in one sense. I think that people are much more inclined to identify themselves in saying, I am a Jew and I'm proud of it. In other words, even youngsters, even though they're not religiously inclined and not religiously observant. In that respect, I think we're more Jewish. On the other hand, I'm afraid that the intellectual Jew who is steeped with a Jewish cultural background is vanishing and almost disappearing. We don't have enough youngsters getting an intensive education, and we're just growing up. We're becoming Americans of Jewish descent, but we're not really ingrained in Jews as the older generations used to identify. And this is very unfortunate. We still, of course, the attendance in the synagogues and the high holidays for 3 days a week, three times a year, is perhaps as good as it used to be. But that's where it begins, and that's where it ends.
What is the disadvantage, though, of children or people not being intellectual Jews and knowing history and philosophy?
They're missing a great deal, and the community is poorer for it. There's such a tremendous body of material that could be satisfying to people that let themselves be immersed in it, and it's just become the treasure of just the selected few. Whereas Jews used to pride themselves as being, you know, people of the book and familiar with the Bible and familiar with the Siddur and all that, then this is a thing of the past.
Do you feel that this is going to affect future generations insofar as the traditions of being a Jew, where you say Jews don't do such and such? Do you feel that they'll become more goyish in their...
Well, there's no question about that. They'll become more goyish in their daily activities, and the spread of assimilation and intermarriage will keep growing from year to year. I can't see how it can be stopped, because we're living in an open society, and so long as we intermingle freely with the Jew with the Goy, we'll become more goyish, because that's the trend. We're the minority, and we'll become immersed in the great sea of the Goyim. You can't help it.
And you feel that this will eventually mean complete assimilation?
I don't think it'll be complete assimilation. No, there'll be a hardcore Jewry. There's a traditional phrase of Netzach Yisrael. Israel goes on indefinitely. And I don't think we're going to disappear. But it gets smaller and smaller, and this is actually no different than the historical trend from as long back as you can remember. If we hadn't had all the persecution and the assimilation that went down through the hundreds of years, our numbers would be many, many more millions than they are today. But this, these are the things that Jewry has had to contend with all through its history.
What role do you feel Israel has in maintaining the Jews in the diaspora as Jews? Do you feel that this is a unifying force?
No question about that. That as much help as people living outside of Israel have been to Israel and to the people living there, Israel, I think, has repaid and will repay its debt to the rest of the Jews of the world many-fold. We can see it for one thing in one simple instance. America is not training nearly enough Hebrew teachers for its own population. We have to rely continuously on imported Hebrew teachers from Israel. And while this isn't good, if it weren't for that, we wouldn't have nearly half enough teachers that we need for our schools today. But aside from that, the cultural sustenance that we Jews in America, for instance, get from Israel, the pride that we have, that we take in their accomplishments, in their bravery, in their courage, you just can't measure that. And I think this will continue that way.
And now then Israel, you feel, is the center.
But unfortunately, a great deal of the support that comes from Jews in America for Israel is an emotional response to the threat of the Arabs and to the threat of war and things like that. Now, given a peaceful situation in Israel, unless you had committed Jews in America, that support would drop. And that's the thing that I'm fearful of, that we don't have enough committed Jews in America.
Israel wasn't in crisis.
Right.
We would forget.
Not all of us, but a great many of us.
Well, I don't think we're going to have to worry about that. It looks like Israel will almost inevitably always be in crisis. Have you been to Israel yourself?
We made two trips to Israel.
Two trips.
Yeah, once in 1961 and last time in 1970.
Can you tell me something about Rose's activities within the Jewish community?
Rose has been very active in the Jewish community. She's been active primarily in Hadassah. She served the term. She was a donor chairman 1 year and was president of Hadassah for 2 years.
When was that?
I guess that was back in 1964. 1963 through 1965. And she has remained a good, devoted soldier in the ranks and a leader, I think, down till today.
Is Rose active in the Zionist organization?
Not with the Zionist organization. Well, she on occasion help out the hostess or something like that, but her activity has been in Hadassah, which is also the Women's Zionist Organization.
ZOA isn't primarily men, is it?
Yes.
Oh, it's all men?
We, in recent years, it also admits some women, but it's primarily a men's organization.
I believe Rose's family, her mother, was also active.
She was one of the leaders in founding the Hadassah group in Pittsburgh. And she's been active also in the United Jewish Federation campaigns. She's worked part-time there during the campaign for about 4 or 5 months each year for a period of 10 years. This is the first year that she has not participated in that respect. And she was in charge of various groups and sections of the campaign organization there.
I believe Rose worked professionally there. As
yes,
well as
I see.
Voluntarily. Right.
Wow.
Professionally, you know, say, in charge of things.
You were going to tell us something about the Chronicle.
Oh, yes.
You were involved with the Board of Chronicle.
Yes, well, I was involved really in the beginning of the Chronicle. I was one of the officers of the United Jewish Federation at the time when the Federation sponsored the establishment of the Jewish Chronicle by a takeover of the former two Anglo-Jewish papers appearing in Pittsburgh, which was the Jewish Criterion and the American Jewish Outlook. And we established a non-profit organization known as the Jewish Jewish Educational and Publication Foundation, I think is the official name, which bought out the those other two papers. And it's the sponsoring organization of the Jewish Chronicle. And thereafter, I was on the board for a number of years, and then for a period of 3 years, I guess, I was the president of the Jewish Chronicle.
There's been a lot of presidents.
Unfortunately, I guess.
No, why do you say
unfortunately? I think it's been fortunate for the community. Which brings
and
us...
This was in 1962. That's when it happened.
This is when the Chronicle was born.
Yes,
1962. When you were president of their board, when?
I think it was 1967, 1968, and 1969. I'm not sure, but maybe a year earlier, a year later than that.
Well, obviously, with all these jobs that you've held, it took a tremendous amount of drive and dedication and a lot of work to get all of this done. So you must have been completely dedicated to what you were doing. How do you view what you've accomplished? Are you content with what you did? Do you feel that you've done the things that needed doing in your mind?
I have considerable satisfaction in having done it. It was at times quite hard and taxing, but I felt that I had something to contribute, and I just didn't feel right in saying, let George do it. So I did what I felt had to be done from time to time.
Were there any...
One thing I did insist upon, I strongly am opposed to people sitting on boards and not doing anything, just using their name. And when I lent my name to something, I felt that I had to get into it and do something.
Well, you were committed to what you were involved with.
It sounds like you didn't have much time left over to play when you were constantly into constructive activities, which in a way is play, but not in...
I didn't have time to twiddle my thumbs.
I should say not.
But I think I enjoyed life at the same time.
You've enjoyed everything.
Was there anything you would have rather been doing?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Not really.
Or anything...
I didn't think as though I had... that I was sacrificing anything or depriving myself of anything. I managed to enjoy life. Mm-hmm. And I had a good wife and family that didn't resent what I was doing.
They were supportive of what you
were doing. Right.
Were there any, is there anything?
There were some things that a lot of other people did that I didn't do. I didn't belong to a country club, and I didn't go golfing.
Would you have liked to?
Not really. I wouldn't have preferred it to what I was doing. I could have done it if I wanted to, rather than what I was doing. It wasn't as though I was forced into doing what I was doing. I chose to do it.
Are there any things that you would have liked to have done within the community? Because obviously this is the direction that your life took within the Jewish community. Are there any things that you feel you should have done, could have done, or would still like to do?
Or would like to see happen, maybe?
I think I'll pass on that question. That's
okay.
That's too big a subject to go into.
I think we asked him too many questions at one time.
Well, can we break it down into one question? Is there something that you would still feel you would like to accomplish within this community? Or do you want to pass on that one?
This isn't the only thing, but I have been known as a strong supporter of Jewish education. And while the community has made headway, I think there's a great deal more that can be done to support Jewish education.
Do you have any specific ideas that you would like to see implemented?
It's a hard thing to implement, and it will not be accomplished until people respect Jewish knowledge and those who participate in the teaching of it. This can't be done overnight, and it takes the whole the society in which we live to do this and to accomplish it. It isn't even just money alone that can accomplish it. And I'm afraid...
It's almost a selling job that needs to be done.
Just to give you an example, years ago when you hear the stories of the shtetl and the community that our people came from, the richest people in the community sought out the most learned youngster to marry their daughter to. Who ever heard of doing a thing like that today? You might say that you would select to leave the Jewish field, you select a professor that's teaching in school. Are there any parents that are anxious to have their daughter marry a college professor?
I'd like that for my daughter.
You feel that
the emphasis just
on money and
material. Yes, and our society just doesn't give, I think, recognition to the learned and the respected person. And we do emphasize money too much, and caste and system and clothes and the automobile and the apartment and the furnishings, and all these things loom as the important thing, when to me that's not the important thing.
Do you feel then that this might in a part or in a way be responsible for the problems that we're having with our youngsters today?
I don't know whether that has something to do with it. I no doubt has it plays some part in it. Sure, because I think many youngsters resent this this worship of the dollar and the drive toward the dollar. But soon enough, they fall into the same mold and become part of it.
The Jewish parents push pretty hard for their children to get into the best schools and the most selective schools. And
yeah, but not Jewishly. We're talking about the Jewish education. Oh, sure. We, as a segment of society, we still stress learning. No question about that. But learning as a tool
to make money.
See, to get along in the world, not necessarily learning for learning's sake.
Do you feel of course, within Jewish teaching, there are high and great ethical and moral teachings that, if they were followed as is prescribed, things would be a lot different. Do you feel our society would be enhanced by this, by the young people taking part in this type of learning?
No question about it.
So, in other words,
I think many of our youngsters have broken away from the fold, they're looking for greener pastures without ever having tasted from their own. They don't know what they're leaving.
They don't know what the true precepts of Jewry is, so they become
enamored Christ of something else. That's right.
Christ children and things of that nature. I think I did ask, do you have any specific suggestions how this could be corrected?
No. There is no such thing as one panacea.
I understand in several universities there have been established chairs of Jewish learning. Do you feel that this might in some way help?
It's one of the things that would be helpful, yes.
Pitt has such a chair now, and I know New York University.
Well, this is all over the country. They have established chairs for Judaic studies and classes in the study of Yiddish and the study of Hebrew. And progress is being made, but it's slow progress.
So we're going forward rather than backward, you would say?
In that particular area.
Do you feel that there'll ever be a return, or there's no turning back to the traditional type of Jew in the old Orthodox sense? Or it'll have to be that basis, but in a different way? In other words, will the moral and ethical values, do you feel, be taken up again? Sorry, that's a deep question, I know.
You know the famous quotation about to whom prophecy was given?
That's something I assume you hope for. Do you feel that in any way you failed in any of your undertakings? Doesn't sound like it, but there may have been things in your mind that you couldn't get done.
Well, there are a lot of things I wanted to do and never got around to doing.
In retrospect, do you think they were that important?
Oh, they're very important, except that they're only 24 hours in a day.
I think you've managed to crowd in.
There are a lot of books here that I haven't read.
You say there are still books that you would
There are a lot of books here that I haven't read. I believe.
Hopefully there
I believe,
are a lot of days for you to read them in, too.
Who knows?
Is there any other information you would like to add or cover? And the question is, how do you feel that the dishonesty of Watergate has affected young people? And we're talking now about Jewish youngsters, but this is a compounded question. Do you feel that it has, as it undoubtedly has, had the same effect on Christian youngsters?
I don't think they question their religion, because I don't think you can blame the failings of our leadership nationally on faults in our religion. It's as a matter of fact, it points up their lack of following the true tenets of our faith, because it points up a lot of hypocrisy and plain fraud and falsification and manipulation of all kinds. It just has widened the credibility gap of our leadership. But I don't think it's affected just the youngsters alone. I think the entire populace of the country has just gotten disgusted with leadership when you see all these things laid out and the dirty linen washed in front of you. I don't think it's you can charge that our teachings are bad.
No.
Except that the teachings haven't taken hold, and so many people are simply mouthing these things and are not practicing them.
Right, this is true, and I'm wondering why, not why, but that the youngsters, seeing the hypocrisy, not of the religion itself, but of the people who mouth the teachings and practice differently. Do you feel this has been one of the factors that have turned youngsters away from religious observance? because we do see even our religious leaders. Recently, the Palatine Fathers, take the Catholic people, who made quite a business out of so-called Christian charity. Will this turn youngsters away from religion as such, because the leadership in religion has not always been honest?
I'm not in a position to really comment on that, because I don't know what turns the youngsters away, to tell you the truth. One thing that I think turns them away is something that occurs in every generation. Youngsters are rebellious by nature, and they simply turn against the establishment in every generation, regardless whether it be a Watergate or not. Watergate, of course, just helps and magnifies it. But in general, we look for a lot of rationalizations and explanations that aren't necessarily appropriate. Just because you have a leader of some religious group that turns out to be a fraud doesn't necessarily mean that the teachings are bad. He's just a bad example of not practicing what he preaches. What he preaches might be good, but he's just not living up to it. So I don't think that people turn away from religion because of the failings of some individual or some leader. We might use that as an excuse, but I don't think it's a true excuse.
Well, a lot of them have taken up, have formed outside faiths because they say the established religion, it's not the teaching, but the establishment itself is dishonest.
Well, but if the teaching has any merit, you have to go to the content of the teaching.
Yeah.
Not of the institution, and not of the necessarily of the preacher. And this is what I said before. Many of our people that have abandoned our religion and our ethics aren't familiar with it. And they've just given up something that they don't even know. Without even opening what's in the box, they've thrown the box away.
I wanted to ask, what is your relationship with the Gentile community, Christian community? Do you have any relationship with them?
I have no social relationship. I've got a business relationship. And in my business relationship, they know where I stand. They know I'm a Jew, and they know I'm a practicing Jew. And they know that I'm proud of my Jewishness, and I don't think that anybody that had anything to do with me has thought any the less of me because of it.
I'm sure they thought all the more of you. Have there been any occasions for interreligious meetings?
No, I've never participated in anything like that.
Do you feel they're worthwhile? I understand Carlo is starting some this week.
Well, that's primarily to teach the Catholic teachers something about our Jewish background.
Do you feel that this is valuable?
Yes, I can see that. I can see only good coming out of it, no harm. I don't think a great deal of some of the interreligious conferences, because sometimes I think the Christian sponsorship is suspect in trying to win over converts to their Christianity. But I see a great deal of good coming out in educating non-Jews into knowing a little bit about what Jewishness stands for.
Do you feel that Pittsburgh has a great deal of anti-Semitism? Have you experienced any as such? And do you feel it is, if so, is it increasing, decreasing, or are Jews accepted better now?
I'd rather not comment on that, because I haven't had too much of a personal experience of open anti-Semitism. I know it's there, but in my personal life, I've never felt a great deal of it because I have stayed away from any place where I thought I wasn't welcome. And a great deal of the complaints of anti-Semitism comes from people that are pushing into places where they are not welcome, and they are rejected, and they make a great deal about the rejection.
If you're referring to social membership and clubs and things
yes.
of that nature, I remember interviewing another person who felt that club membership was not a basic human right, and so she really couldn't get upset about this discrimination. Do you feel it is?
Sure, it's discrimination, but...
do you think it's a basic human right, or the world has a right to...
I think the world has a right to associate socially with whomever they want to. Of course, the Anti-Defamation League does have a strong argument on what they call the... I forget what the official name they give it to, the executive business, where they say that this is not really just a social relationship, but it's actually a business relationship. Many contracts are talked about and are concluded in the Duquesne Club over lunch, and if a Jew is not admitted there, why, he misses out. Or on the golf course, and if you can't get onto a restricted golf course, you can't meet with your customers, and you can't do as well as you might otherwise. And this is obvious, because although anti-Semitism has declined insofar as the employment of Jews by the big corporations, but that employment, everybody will point out, is largely in the laboratories and in the offices and in the infrastructure of the big corporation. The Jews are still not in the executive suite, and they still are not in the upper echelon of the sales forces, because they can't meet with our customers in the Duquesne Club. They're not welcome there, or in the select country clubs. So they do have an argument, but I don't know how you overcome that, because to overcome it, you've got to push into a place where people don't want you to be.
Is there anything else that you would like to cover or add to what we've already done?
Not a word.
Well, it certainly has been really, I think your tapes are going to be preserved for time, because you certainly have made many contributions.